Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak on those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, and that comment can be either pro or con, or maybe you have a Bible question, maybe a Bible subject that you've been thinking about and would like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer, or better, be to contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, human life has suffered serious devaluation, I think is the word, in recent decades. In fact, I know it's the word. The Holocaust and various horrors of war, they are among the first examples that kind of come to mind of anybody who knows a bit about recent history, while other practices get less attention. Statistics suggest that the worldwide total of abortions performed in the past 50 years may have reached a number as high as 2 billion. And the estimate of the number of Jews that were killed because of the policies of Hitler vary, but the number of human lives that were stuffed out through abortion in the last half century is clearly hundreds of times greater than what Hitler did. You know, the popular acceptance and the political promotion of abortion are furthered by significant changes that have taken place in our society concerning the attitudes we have about human life. You know, when a society rejects the idea of God's existence and they reject belief in there being an absolute standard of morality, they're going to reject the concept of the sanctity of human life. And all of this is going to lead to devaluing human beings. And that's going to be an inescapable consequence that comes out of all of these things that we've seen. In fact, one of the best known advocates of this devaluation that has occurred over the past decades is a man by the name of Peter Singer. He's a professor of bioethics at Princeton University. Singer is an Australian-born Jew, and he has become a champion of the animal rights movement. He openly suggests that the life of a pig or a dog could have greater value than the life of a child, especially a newborn child, or one with some sort of significant physical or mental defect. And he goes on to say, it might be better to do medical experiments on orphan humans than on lab rats. It's incredible to think of the cruel acts of Joseph Mengele being validated by this Jewish philosopher. It's a good thing that many Jews and non-Jews greatly disagree with Singer about this and really a number of other points that he has in mind. You know, too, another symptom of this devaluing of human life is the growing movement in favor of euthanasia and assisted suicide, that is, support for legalization of the active participation of others, especially doctors, typically doctors, in the act of suicide. Worldwide, there are dozens of organizations that defend and they promote this cause, suggesting that helping a person end his life, usually to avoid suffering for him and for others that are around him, is an act of decency, and they think it's worthy of legal protection. In fact, several countries already have laws that favor the practice of assisted suicide. A society that abandons its belief in the Creator and in the moral and the ethical principles that God has defined, it's destined to follow the trail that leads to confusion and a lack of appreciation for human life. And it's easy for us to be influenced, perhaps without even realizing it, by the ideas of people who place more value on a dog than they do on innocent and defenseless human beings. There was a man that lived thousands of years ago. He offers for us a perspective, I think, that can help us to find the moral compass that we need to face in these types of questions. Job suffered terribly. Besides losing all of his possessions, losing all of his children, he was the victim of a terrible disease and was in constant, unbearable pain. And he didn't understand why God had allowed such things to happen in his life. He had no idea. In fact, Job even thought, although he was thinking wrong, that God might have inflicted all of this suffering on him. And yet we know that was not the case when we read the first few verses of chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Job. But here he is, facing all of this agony, and this man lost his desire to live. In fact, in the early chapters of the book concerning Job and all that he went through, he makes comment and he appeals that shows his will to die. He said it would have been better if he had never been born. Let's look in chapter 3 and just notice just a few of the verses. In verses 1, 2, and 3, let's read those. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, "May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived." Let's go down to verse 11. "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" Let's drop on down to verse 20. "Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul, who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures?" Let's drop down to verse 25. "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes." See, if he had never been conceived, or if he had died soon after birth, he would not have faced all of these calamities, all of this terrible pain that he's experiencing. And in another section of the book of Job, he said it would be better to die quickly And he even asked God to take his life. Let's go over to chapter 6. In Job chapter 6, let's look at verses 8 and 9. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing that I long for, that it would please God to crush me, that he would loose his hand and cut me off. See, if there was ever a case that provides reasons to defend abortion or assisted suicide, Job's suffering would certainly be that case. That's why we need to notice two things that Job did not do. Number one, he did not say it would have been better if his mother had decided to abort him. He didn't say that. Read the entire book of Job. Job does not say anything in regards to what his mother should have done. If he had died naturally, then that would have been fine with him. But he never hints that the decision should have been made on the part of his mother, or that the decision should have been made on the part of any other human being. And the second thing that we need to notice that Job did not do, he did not seek a solution through suicide. He saw no reason to continue to live. We saw that there in Job chapter 6 and verse 11. What strength do I have that I should hope? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? He didn't see any reason for living. But he did not take it upon himself the right to end his own life. See, Job does not defend abortion or suicide because he understood that God, not man, exercises authority over life. Let's go back to chapter 1. And after all of these calamities have come upon him, he's lost all of his possessions, he's lost all of his children, and now the boils and all of the things that have come upon him. Notice what we see in verse 21 of that first chapter. Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 22, "In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." See, Job again understood that God, not man, exercises authority over life. God could end Job's life, but Job refused to take any action to hasten his own end. Friends, what we need to do today, what our society, what the world needs to do today, is to respect God. Respect him as the creator. And that will help us to value human beings that are made in his image. Because if we respect God and we respect him as our creator, that's what we're going to have to acknowledge, that we are made in his image. This fact is the foundation of the special respect that should be given to human life. Genesis 9, verse 6, "For in the image of God he made man." Friends, we appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now, we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.